This is going to be the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
It's going to be lit.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest.
You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
The greatest of all time. I can feel it right now.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
Happy Thursday, all you sports fans. It is Thursday, isn't it, Vinny? I'm a little messed up this week.
It is.
It is Thursday. Happy Thursday, all you Valley sports fans. Do we have a snow day today?
We got rained out today.
We
went from all access with the Diamondbacks to some access with the Diamondbacks.
That's right.
They had to scale back what they were doing out at Salt River Field. So we are not there today for all access. We are at the Ak-Chin Community Studios, and hopefully we'll be joined by a couple of Diamondbacks guests during the course of the show.
When I worked in Chicago, I started covering spring training baseball, and I'm like, cool. I get to go to Arizona in February. Are you kidding me? Right? So the first time I came here, I didn't bring a jacket because I thought it's Arizona. It's a desert. Even in the best of situations, people who are not from here don't realize how cold it can get in the mornings in the spring.
True.
Right? The sun comes out, then it gets gorgeous. But that early morning stuff can get really cold. The weather pattern this year and the last few years, I wonder what this is going to wreak on the Cactus League. If the winter that we've had bleeds into the spring we're about to have.
More importantly, what does it mean for the summer? Does Mother Nature get her revenge
that's
in the summertime?
Yes. What does it mean for the summer?
Because that's when I bring up my complaints about the current weather. That's what people say. You're going to pay for it in the summer. I know. Yeah. And I'll probably be cursing that weather in July, too. But when I left my place this morning to come to work, I'm like, oh, we're going to be outside today for 4 hours. It's like 45 degrees and rainy. This is not going to be good for a guy who can't kick the world's worst cold.
Well, the last thing that listeners want to hear are hosts complaining about the weather and space heaters not working.
Wait, why do you say that?
Well, because they don't.
Who did such a thing?
Oh, I don't know. Well, a couple days ago, Doug Franz did exactly that.
Hey, they had to brave it. It was like 35 degrees when they were out there.
I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The Cactus League. Where's the sun? I'm still digging it, though. I am not changing my platform from yesterday. I am digging this. I don't mind if this lasts all the way to summer.
It's not going to last.
That's no fun. You don't want just miserable weather and then the summer. The whole point of living in Arizona is the spring and the fall.
This is so different to what we normally experience in Arizona. There's something to be said for just enjoying it, right?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it enough.
But
it's been different long enough.
But I do agree with you. This morning I looked outside, I'm like, okay, if we are outside broadcasting, my partner is going to die.
I brought my heaviest jacket.
He is going to die.
It's starting all over. I was in a NyQuil-induced coma last night. And woke up feeling sick all over again. And I'm hearing from so many people now that every person I hear from, the estimate of your recuperation time gets longer.
Yeah.
Dave Burns' father sent me an email yesterday to tell me he's been dealing with it all winter. Then I got another person, a listener said, 6 to 8 weeks is what they've had
There is a boomerang illness going around. And I know that because my 15-year-old, who generally is very, very healthy, got through a bad cold and now it's resurfacing. But it's not the same. It's something different. Probably exactly what you're going through. Probably exactly what I'm about to go through. There's a boomerang something happening right now.
Let's have a contest. What happens first? I get better, I'm close to feeling 100%.
Yeah.
Or TJ Warren's soreness goes away and he actually plays a basketball game. Which one is it going to be?
Can the Suns at least pretend it's something more than a sore ankle?
Yeah.
Can they call it like a fracture or a strain or something?
A sprain would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, soreness.
That's brutal. That is brutal. I agree with that. Let's start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him up. Get him up, come in.
The Splash is brought to you by Ruta Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing what?
Plumbing danger,
yes,
Vinny.
Yes, that is correct. I wanted to get you involved.
You do not want plumbing danger.
No.
All right. Wacky, weird, big night in college basketball last night. If you sat down to watch ASU, if you sat down to watch Zion Williamson, you know that the college basketball world was rocked when the Duke star, 33 seconds into the game, oh, my knee, it's broken. He blows out a shoe, and he wrenches his knee, and he leaves the court, and he never returns. And this story is playing out on so many levels. But at the base level, Darren Rovell was right. Nike stock went down this morning. I don't know where it is now, but it was down 1%.
Is this an indictment of the shoe, or is it a show of strength and superhuman ability from Zion Williamson?
I'm telling you.
That working up a head of steam and trying to plant a foot to cut could create so much force to blow through a shoe.
Yeah. There was a picture 2 days ago of Zion Williamson trying to wrestle a basketball out of the arms of an opponent, uh-huh. and his grip on the basketball was actually denting it. Did you see that picture?
Yes.
Okay. This is what we're talking about. Maybe this person is just not human.
I think he's from a different planet.
So Nike needs to get into the Zionize campaign. They need to Zionize all their shoes.
He's the biggest, toughest athlete ever, yet he should never play competitive sports again. Because he's just risking his future by doing so. You know what? I risked my future today, too, by getting out of bed.
Okay, here's how this story's playing out. We're going to get into all of it. Number one, there is that. What does Zion Williamson do right now? Does he shut it down for a Duke team that's lost 2 games all season and is favored to win an NCAA tournament? That would be pretty weird, wouldn't it? Unless he's really... If this is only a mild sprain... Zion Williamson has plenty of time to get back.
Well, I mean, we just talked about ankle soreness. Mild sprain, that could keep you out for 2 to 3 years in today's sporting landscape.
So that's story number one. What should Zion Williamson do? Story number two. Is this an indictment, a further indictment of the NBA? Because somebody tweeted out a picture of this shoe and said, think of all the money that Duke University, Mike Krzyzewski, and Phil Knight has made from that shoe. Look at how little money was paid to the worker who made that shoe. And look at how the zero money was paid to the dude wearing the shoe, at least over the table. Try to get your head around all of that.
A lot of tangents. A lot of tangents. We'll get into all of them. And maybe even create some of our own today.
No, we definitely were. Puma was trolling Nike. The president was at the game. Spike Lee was at the game. And the game lasted 33 seconds. All right, there's a lot to get into.
No, the game actually lasted 40 minutes.
Yeah, no, it did.
There was 9 other players on
the
floor.
The show lasted 33 seconds. All right, on a parallel universe in Tempe, Arizona, ASU played a solid, sturdy basketball game, and they took care of Stanford the way we hoped they would. And I think we know why Bobby Hurley was a little bit weirded out by the crowd going into the game, because at least in the moments going into tip-off, it didn't look like attendance was that spectacular.
It didn't seem that way. Didn't seem like it was an issue either way. Like you said, ASU took care of business. Late three in the first half from Remy Martin kind of set the tone for the second half. And it was a good win with some signature qualities that ASU might be able to build on, and I'll tell you about those a little bit later.
Oh, really?
But, I mean, attendance-wise, too, if you're a college basketball fan and you realize, hey, ASU's playing Stanford on a Wednesday night, same night, Duke, North Carolina, the hottest ticket we've seen in college basketball in a really long time, some people probably stayed home to watch Duke, North Carolina last night.
Yeah.
Is what I'm guessing.
I agree. No, I totally agree with that. All right. NFL news. There is another player divorced from the Pittsburgh Steelers officially. Lev Bell will be an unrestricted free agent. Pittsburgh basically cleaning house of Lev Bell and Antonio Brown, and their GMs making it clear that they don't mind Ben Roethlisberger ripping everybody on the way out.
Yeah, basically said he can have, he's got carte blanche on who he wants to be critical of, which is not a real great statement to make, even if that is the case, but to make it that public for the Steelers,
yeah,
very strange. Now there's all kinds of odds on where Lev Bell ends up in an unrestricted free agent situation, and guess who's coming up near the top of the list again? San Francisco.
Wow.
Now, you're not going to advocate for the Cardinals to sign Lev Bell, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
No. No. Stop.
But there's a possibility
Stop mocking me.
I'm not mocking you.
You said you wanted him to sign Kareem Hunt.
I did.
Why not Lev Bell?
I don't like Lev Bell that much.
You know, I like the guy with the domestic violence stuff on his resume better than Lev Bell. Okay. The guy who hasn't really proven much as
you
a football
ahead,
player yet in the
You
NFL.
Go ahead and moralize off in the corner by yourself. I'm talking about the quality of football player.
Lev Bell's a better football player than Kareem Hunt.
I don't think so.
Wow.
I think Lev Bell was better.
Well, he didn't play last year. Obviously, he didn't have as good a year as Kareem Hunt. Right.
This stat did not stack up last year, okay?
Okay, I will bet
he
you.
He got you zero fantasy points.
My Igor Kokoshkov bet that I'm guaranteed to lose. Let's double it up. Kareem Hunt will have more rushing yards than Lev Bell next year.
So this is now, would be six lunches versus four?
You want to, yes.
Because the Igor bet's already a double or nothing bet.
Okay.
So we're lumping them together?
I don't know what we're doing.
Well, I like the premise of this. We'll work on something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can take Lev Bell's rushing yardage next year. I'll take Kareem Hunt's.
Okay.
Done. I like it.
Sounds good.
All right.
Suns back in action tonight.
Uh-huh.
Against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They do get a player back from injury. It's not TJ Warren. It's DeAnthony Melton. So that won't hurt things, but there was a lot of reaction on Twitter yesterday, and it happened during the late stages of our show when Igor Kokoshkov told the media that TJ Warren won't be back. He hasn't played in a while. They haven't played in a while. And there's some growing concern over this ankle injury. Is this more than it was initially advertised as in terms of severeness of injury? Or are the Suns planting that seed for, we're not going to rush these guys back for a team that has 11 wins, especially when we might be trying to get Zion Williamson?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is really absurd how long TJ Warren's been out. Yeah, I mean, look, you know me. We kind of like ran into this end of the road yesterday. I don't know where to go when discussing the Phoenix Suns anymore, because I don't think anything the short term this season, I know it doesn't remotely interest me. Nothing at all.
Yeah, but are you
nothing?
A game-to-game basis? No.
Wow.
I mean,
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm dying to see the debut of Ray Spalding. What? They've won 11 games. What do you care about? Spalding?
Well, can't you say that you're rooting for them not to win? In a way?
Yeah, in a way. I would love to see them. But you know, I'll tell you what. I was watching that opening possession of that Duke North Carolina game, and Zion Williamson had the ball and made that move, and I thought to myself, you know what? This is another one of these guys who is, and again, he deserves all the hype that he's had. This is the most valuable player to come out of college basketball or to enter the NBA, because LeBron didn't play in college. This is the most valuable player to enter the NBA since LeBron. In terms of what he's going to command from a shoe company, especially after last night, all that stuff. Yeah, I would love the Suns to be in the Zion Williamson game. I would love that. But you know what? You think Zion Williamson's going to do 360 dunks in the NBA? You think he's
probably? Why wouldn't
he? All right,
he?
So yeah, okay. But
that's not a day-to-day thing. You don't get any resolution there until June.
I'm going to watch games out of duty. I'm going to watch games to see the growth and the development of some of these players and teams. But no, yeah, I'm sure that they are playing the tank game, because why wouldn't you at 11-48, whatever it is they are, why wouldn't you play the tank game right now?
Well, is there a tank game when you're 11-48 when you're trying? I don't know if there's a delineation to be made there. What's the difference?
Well, see, tonight they're playing.
They're playing a team, I mean, that's worse than them probably.
That's true.
At least not definitely on paper.
Yeah, 5 o'clock is the tip tonight on ESPN 620 a.m. To update the Coyotes situation, they got a big game against Vancouver tonight.
Yeah.
They are now, they've moved back in the Western Conference wild card race. They're now 2 points out of that race. Dallas has the top wild card spot with 63 points. Colorado and Chicago both won last night. They've got 61. Now Minnesota, Arizona, Vancouver. Minnesota with 60, Vancouver, Arizona with 59 points, and they face off tonight in British Columbia. It's
yeah.
Big game for the Coyotes.
It really, really is, and it kind of lets you know. And I watch this team, and part of me is really impressed by their resilience, and part of me just wonders, man, if they had a real payroll, if John Chyka had the financial ability that some of his colleagues do, this would be a real exciting time for hockey. And that time may be coming. That's how impressive this team building of that young guy happens to be, my opinion. And this team's proof of it. So there you go. Big game in Vancouver today.
Yeah, totally Coyotes agree. And Canucks tonight, 8 o'clock. You can hear that game here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And that is your Splash for Thursday, February 21st, 2019.
Just 30 seconds into the game, a second look for Duke, and here's Zion, his first touch. Fell down at the free throw line. He's grabbing at his right and left knee as the other way goes Johnson to lay it in. And a scary moment here at the outset as now Zion Williamson reaches down to his left ankle. His shoe is off. It looks like he stepped through his shoe, John. Like the seam on the shoe broke, his foot came through the shoe. And he's back to his feet and walking to the bench. Jose Fonseca and Mike Krzyzewski taking a look. I'm pretty sure he ripped through his shoe and he fell down awkwardly. But for the moment, they just want to make sure that he's all right. But they're going to have to go to the locker room to get a new sneaker.
Nope. He's going to the locker room to get checked out and not coming back into the game. 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson goes down. Put a pall on the rest of the game, and North Carolina absolutely dominated and beat Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium, as you said during the splash pick, in front of an audience that had a lot of dignitaries. Former President Barack Obama was there sitting in the front row.
Spike Lee was there.
We talked yesterday about the ticket prices, how they were going for on the secondary market, and that's actually one of the stories that ties into all of this. You mentioned it. Zion Williamson, and I agree with you, the most valuable athlete to make the jump to the NBA since
LeBron
James in 2003. But the reaction over a minor injury, and I know it was a bummer for ESPN and college basketball fans, but you would think from the reaction that we experienced as an American public, some sort of national tragedy happened.
Well, first of all, I'm thinking
20 years from now, we'll all be asking the question, do you remember where you were when Zion broke his shoe?
It's a big story because of how you prefaced it, because he has reached a level of mythology in college basketball that we have not seen since LeBron went straight to the NBA from high school. And it's just been a series of moments. A dunk here, a block shot where he's flying out on the perimeter to reject the guy into the stands. There have just been these moments that have just built this guy and gotten the hype machine rolling. And then last night, the hype machine was at full blast, cranking and cranking and cranking. And the first time Zion Williamson touches the ball, that happens. Now, I got a lot of questions about this. Number one, is it really the shoe company's fault? There are so many people, and I don't want to focus on a shoe company too much, but it's part of this story and what makes the story so wacky. Was that a deficient shoe? Because that clip is going to be played constantly, and every business expert I've seen said, this is going to hurt Nike.
Yeah, temporarily.
This might not have anything to do with the shoe. Now, is the injury really minor?
A week from now, do you think Nike stock is going to be down?
No. No, but in the short-term, day-to-day, hysterical world we live in, it seems like the most important thing in the world right
Nike's
now.
Nike's kind of a bulletproof company.
Did you hear the story?
We're all familiar with their campaign with Colin Kaepernick, correct? And how that turned a lot of people off. And they showed support for Colin Kaepernick. There was a business owner, I believe it was in Wisconsin, a guy who had a shoe store for 20 years, who took umbrage with Nike's stance and decided, I'm not carrying Nike products anymore. You know what happened to that store after 20 years? It went out of business. Nike's going to be fine. This is a very temporary situation, in my opinion. I think it'll be proven out. But let's focus first on the hype machine. We know that's the way things operate in sports in 2019.
Yeah.
And it has for a long time. And ESPN is at the forefront of the Zion Williamson business. This morning, as I was preparing for work, you know, the first thing I do when I wake up and to get me up and out of bed, I turn the TV on. ESPN's on. It was like 5:30 a.m. at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing their half-hour headlines. Jay Harris, they set it up. Here's our half-hour headlines. He said, really, there's only one. There's only one headline that means anything this morning, and that's Zion Williamson's injury. I went, there's other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's the big story. I get it. But this hype machine is out of control. It's almost like even the hype that we saw with LeBron coming out of high school going into the NBA, this is even different. It's almost impossible for him to live up to these expectations. He's 19 years old. If he fails to be the next LeBron James, his career will be a bust at this point. You agree?
You're exactly right. And that is, when I looked at Zion Williamson and I watched a little of him, he is not like LeBron. He's the dominant player on a really good team and the most dynamic player and jaw-dropping player we've seen in a while, but he's not a point guard in the center's body like LeBron was. And so I think there's a real risk of that happening. And it's kind of, this is American sports looking in the mirror is what this is. Now, I hope that this injury is just minor. That
no, I hope so too.
Not a tear in the knee, because can you imagine, because already now, you know, Zion Williamson behind the scenes here, there's going to be these conversations. People are going to be in Zion's ear. Dude, shut it down, man. Your payday's coming. Come on, you get your homies to take care of.
Well, that's the next question, and that's the prevalent question right now. People are speculating, this is it. He's never going to step foot on a college basketball court again. Now, a month ago, he talked about vehemently, I didn't come to Duke to protect my future. I came here to play basketball.
Yeah.
This team very well could win a national championship.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of ramifications. As long as these stupid rules are in place for NBA eligibility, college basketball programs like Duke, it's really hard to feel sorry for Duke. I understand that. But they recruited Zion Williamson because they are still in the business of winning championships. Yes, further down on their list of priorities is producing NBA talent, and they will do that regardless of what happens with Zion Williamson the rest of the way. But when, as a society, did we start, as a sports society, when did we stop living in the now and everything is based on the future? You are guaranteed absolutely nothing in life. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm completely with you on that. Everything wasn't always about securing your own little gold mine. It used to be you played sports for reasons other than that. And I'm not talking about the lessons sports gives or the lessons that you can get as a spectator. I'm talking about athletes, people who competed. There was a nobility to it. You did it. You committed to a team. Pursuing a championship meant something. All of that stuff. I'm with you on this. But you know how this is going to work now. Because the money is so great. It's people are going to be in Zion's ear telling them to shut it down. Now Mike Krzyzewski's got to manage this. We saw that Duke did not respond well to losing Zion Williamson at all. And what team would? They made a couple of runs in North Carolina throughout the course of the game. But you could tell they were shooken up by the everything that went
well,
down.
Well, they still have a lot of talent, but they're clearly not the same team. And
no.
Now we've seen, for this game, obviously, and their level of competition was very high. North Carolina's a good team playing well. Earlier in the season, Zion Williamson got poked in the eye right before halftime against Florida State, didn't play in the second half, and Duke looked really out of sorts. They won that game. It was a close game. So now people are wondering, if this is, A, more serious than has first been reported, or B, it is enough to sway Zion Williamson's thinking, I'm not going to play, I'm not going to jeopardize my future at this point. Is Duke even a title contender? I'm not sure they are.
No, not without, no. Because even though they've got a lot of talent on the team, their swagger is all in Zion Williamson. And without him, you could see that team just deflated. Now, they have time to reform themselves if he is injured bad. It doesn't sound like he is. But what gets tricky now is how he approaches this. And if he does eject, think about the crowd that like to ring the death knell for NCAA sports. This will be another one of those things. You even talked about it, that we are not that far away in NCAA football from great prospects ejecting themselves from bad seasons because there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no reason to keep playing college basketball. That's never the case when you go to Duke. You've got a national championship to win. So if this guy pulls out now as a preventative measure, that's going to be really bad. And yet he might make that decision. We don't know what he's going to do. But he's been on record as saying, look, I'm not trying to just float my way, Jadeveon Clowney my way to the NBA. We'll see what he does now.
Yeah.
Because there's hundreds of millions of dollars on the line for Zion Williamson and his people.
But again, I think it is, I understand the safety in that thinking, But I also think that thinking is dangerous because, again, you're not guaranteed anything. I mean,
I know. I'm with you, man.
I hate to tie in this story. I mean, the other big college basketball story that's out there today is the Jim Boeheim story, the Syracuse coach driving home from a game last night. There's an accident on I-690 in upstate New York, and a guy leaves his car and gets struck by Jim Boeheim and killed. Nothing. I mean, do you think that when the guy got out of his car, he didn't expect that to happen. He was trying to resolve a situation, and he ends up paying for it with his life. Nothing is guaranteed. So Zion Williamson or any athlete can be as safe as they want to be. It doesn't guarantee that you will be a phenom. It doesn't guarantee that you will succeed at the next level.
Yeah.
It doesn't even mean that you'll be decent at the next level. I just hate this thinking now that everything is about protecting your future and your brand, and it's not about, you know, living in the moment and helping out a situation in the moment.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to me. I know I'm putting the cart before the horse because Zion Williamson has made no determination about his future at Duke. I hope he plays. College basketball, for as messed up as a sport as it is a better place when he plays. The NCAA tournament will be better if Zion Williamson is on the court for Duke.
Because Zion Williamson gives the NCAA something they really have not had in abundance, and that is household names playing in their sport.
Yes. Absolutely. Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. Coming up, did the crowd show up for ASU last night? And more importantly, did the team show up? We'll get into the Sun Devils next. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Saturday is Remy Martin with a steal with 44 seconds left. Martin on the dribble drive between the legs to Lake for the slam dunk. That is the exclamation point on this one. Hubba Hubba, another between the legs Remy special on the bounce to Daquan Lake.
Hubba, no, hubba. I mean, I just want to... I had a feeling that we would deliver, you know, and this is my gangster shirt, and the guys played like gangsters out there, and they played hard, they took control of the game, they really battled, they fought, and so I enjoyed wearing my black shirt tonight.
ASU wins at 80-62 over Stanford last night at Wells Fargo Arena.
Hubba hubba
hubba hubba, not for nothing. Hubba Hubba sounds like a construction lot catcall. Hey, baby, Hubba Hubba.
Hubba Hubba.
Why can you relate so easily to that? Did you once work construction?
Hey, I resemble that remark.
That's a Tim Healy special. He uncorks that several times a season when warranted. And you saw that pass.
It was outstanding.
Hubba Hubba.
I'm telling you.
That's the way Dan Bickley would call it. Remy Martin between the legs to Lake.
That's outstanding. That's exactly what I would have done. It was that good. Now it was Remy Martin. I love his game so much. He is so fast and fearless when he dribbles the ball. He does spin moves at full speed, and he somehow stays in control, and he was leading the break, and he went between his legs.
For the second time in the game.
And I was like, wow, dude. The game, I got a lot of thoughts on it from somebody who watched every minute, including the curtain of distraction when some guy was taking mayonnaise from his mouth and rubbing it on his chest. It was disgusting. Last night was the first time where I thought, curtain of distraction, jump the shark.
Ooh, strong.
But you know, Gambo was begging and pleading to get into the curtain of distraction.
Okay, listen.
Yesterday.
I got a bone to pick with Bernsie here. Bernsie was just really furthering this at the start of their show. Just egging on the 942 crew. Hey, you got to call Gam. You got to get Gam. No. No. Enough.
Joe Gambadoro.
I don't want to see Gambo.
You don't want to see Joe Gambadoro.
I don't want to see Gambo vamping and preening coming out of the curtain of distraction. Because he will not be wearing a shirt, I guarantee you. And he'll be flexing his biceps.
Well, what would that...
He'll do the Gambo.
They open up the curtain, let's see.
He'll do the Gambo T-pose.
Da Silva goes to the free throw line for the first of two. Let's see what the curtain of distraction has pulled up. It's a middle-aged man doing box jumps while reading from a notebook.
Oh, All right, just go to break. I'm not going to recover from that line. I'm not. A middle-aged man doing box jumps while reading from a notebook. That would be him. So, yeah, jump the shark. But that just, maybe I won't feel that way tomorrow. I felt that way last night.
Just because you were disgusted by the actual distraction that was taking place.
It was gross. And then somebody came out with a dinosaur mask and a broom. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
They've been doing this for 5 years now.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
What I liked about this game was how sturdy ASU was. They didn't always play great, but they didn't ever really bottom out. They always kept Stanford at bay. And like I said before the show started, I think Stanford suffered very much the way Duke did. And when they learned pregame that their best scorer, KZ Akpala, I got that right this time.
Yes.
You could see that
I think in show prep you called him DJ Impala.
I did.
Which might actually be somebody's rap name. I don't know. DJ Impala. But go ahead.
There's the Tame Impalas.
Yes, that is true.
A very good band out of Australia.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think Stanford was marginalized significantly, but that's okay. That's not ASU's problem. I like the fact that Remy Martin gave this team incredible energy. I love the fact that Zylan Cheatham made a huge three. Rob Edwards made a huge three, and that kind of put the game away, and it turned into, okay, great. We did exactly what we had to do. I think this win was enormous for ASU because aesthetically, this kind of played into the way they played against Utah, and I think this really bolstered their chances of getting an at-large tournament berth, regardless of what they do in the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to, by beating Stanford, where it really helps them is they're going to get one of the top four seeds if they don't blow this. Top four seed in the Pac-12 tournament. That's good news.
That is good news.
Because you don't want to do one and done there.
But the cosmetics that made up this win, I mean, they've been really reliant on Remy Martin as of late, mm-hmm. and he's been great, and his energy was infectious last night, and he had a really good stat line again, 16 points, 6 assists, 1 turnover, 2 steals. You'll take that, but the energy he provided was there. They've also been heavily reliant on Zylan Cheatham lately.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the Zylan Cheatham that we've seen as of late. He did battle foul trouble, but he only had 5 rebounds, had 4 fouls, wasn't a big factor offensively outside that 3 in the stretch.
Yeah.
But it was such a good team effort. Sturdy is a good word to call it, because even so, you look at that final score and it's an 18-point win for the Sun Devils. It was a 7-point game with 8 minutes to go. And in that 8:23 during that stretch, it wasn't ASU relying on one player. They had 6 different players score points over that 23-12 run to end the game.
Yeah.
That is a good sign moving forward when you're getting that much production and no opposing defense can really zero in on somebody offensively for ASU. I like that aspect of the game a lot. Yep. Now, it wasn't all positive. I mean, Tayshaun Cherry's emotions got involved again. He gets ejected for the game.
That was
a
punk move from him, man,
yeah,
I tell you.
Here was Bobby Hurley on Tayshaun Cherry's emotions and ejection.
Tayshaun was kind of like me as a freshman. You know, he's got so much spirit and emotion and raw energy and you know, you gotta try and harness it and control it. And I didn't. I was bad with officials. I was bad, you know, if I made a mistake, body language and things. And you know, he'll learn and you know he'll mature. But he's super talented guy and we'll work with him so that he puts this behind him.
More importantly, the crowd aspect, we hit on that big time yesterday. 10,327 the announced attendance at Wells Fargo Arena. So, Bobby Hurley, how was the crowd?
Was unbelievable. So, let's get on good terms again. Now we're all happy and we're all on the same page. That was unbelievable. Just the how they got behind the team and really was dynamic. You know, and just pushing us through that game and some tough stretches. It was an outstanding college basketball environment. Really was.
Another right. good sign, though, is that said they kept Stanford at bay. That's 2 straight games, the Utah win and the Stanford win. When once ASU kind of got control of the game, there were a few ebbs and flows, but they never really lost command of either one of those games, and that's a good sign moving forward.
Later on, I want to talk about Bobby Hurley and how this guy lasts 5 minutes of a game without getting thrown out is mind-blowing. Seriously, and I love the guy. I he's doing great stuff there. Last night was a big win. They've got Cal now at home. They've got the Oregon schools, and then they've got a road trip to Tucson. Okay, so that's four games left.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional wisdom, say you beat Cal, beat Arizona. Two out of those four wins, you might be in. I think ASU's win last night really put them comfortably inside the bubble.
Respectfully,
they can't blow it now.
And we'll get into this later, but I respectfully think that you're giving the Pac-12 too much credit. We shall see. The only question that remains, will Cal still be winless in the conference when they get to Tempe?
At least you're ripping me with respect now.
We'll get Jarrett's views on that later on, too. Coming up, Diamondbacks. We were supposed to be out there today. Weather didn't cooperate. We can still talk about them and the expectations on this team for 2019. We'll do that next. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
I'm a big fan of meatloaf.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
I gotta go.
The meatloaf is burning.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yeah.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Murata, the meatloaf!
I think they do, and I think it was public that they had restructured their capital, which is good for their ownership, so that they could spend more. I think it's good for baseball. I think it's good for the division. It's good for that market. But, you know, he's a very good player, and I think it is very similar to what we did when we signed Zach a couple of years ago. I think the rest of the baseball world was shocked. But, again, I do think it's good for them and for us. But markets of our size, we're challenged. You know, you can't make, as we've said before, Doug, you can't make mistakes. I mean, with our rosters, if you're going to take a gamble on a big free agent or a trade that's going to bring in even more added salary and stress to your payroll, you have to make sure you do it right, because any mistakes we make are huge mistakes. Some of the larger markets, they can make roster mistakes, but they can get over them.
Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, on with Doug and Wolf this morning here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. When asked the question, are you worried about being outspent by the San Diego Padres? Because that is a very common reaction to the news that happened this week from Diamondbacks fans is, wait, the Padres got Manny Machado and they're still talking about Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
They spent $144 million on Eric Hosmer. Where's our big ticket superstar free agent signing in Arizona? And just on the surface, it's a legitimate question. Now, there's other factors that went into it, obviously, and people reacted by saying, hey, $30 million a year for Manny Machado, you can't afford Paul Goldschmidt. Well, it was more than just finances, and that is the case. But I'm not all in on Machado transforming San Diego. As we had Steve Berthume on yesterday, Bick, they still don't have any pitching. They're more exciting. They're more marketable. They'll probably show up on ESPN a lot more this year on Sunday Night Baseball because of Machado's presence.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're necessarily that much more that much better a team right now, because they're still missing elements.
Yeah, I think people are really fair to wonder that. Okay, if they can do that, why can't we? And I think Mike Hazen gave some credence to that by saying, look, the reason to not re-sign or extend Paul Goldschmidt is only partially due to finances. I think a lot of it is, Vinny, where you are in the evolution of your team. I think the Padres right now, their farm system has been rated among the best in baseball for a couple years running now, right? So, theoretically, 2 to 3 years from now, they're going to be ready to win, and Manny Machado will still be in his prime, and so maybe that is the way they're lining up their chess pieces. I think here, Mike Hazen, you know, after two seasons, he's finally getting down to the job he was supposed to do in the first place, and that is create some sort of sustainable long-term plan and team. You go out and you bring in like a Bryce Harper right now. I think, again, it's sort of like a short-term luxury item that might prevent you from connecting all the dots that you need to connect.
Well, the thing that throws the wrench into the Harper and Machado situations is they're both so young. At 26, that's what makes sense for the Padres in this move.
Yeah.
Manny Machado is 26, and as you mentioned, they have a few options on ways they can go now. Now, there is a five-year opt-out in that contract for Machado, but they can play the long game, and Machado can put up numbers on a 75-win team for a few years, and when these prospects are ready to come up and be major leaguers, and if they hit on some of them, they're going to be good. They also have the capital right now in terms of trade assets from a prospect standpoint. They can go out and bolster that lineup and that roster right now and try to win right away. With Paul Goldschmidt, who is I read a piece today on SI.com that ranked the top 100 players in baseball. Paul Goldschmidt came in at number 16. The first sentence of his write-up says he's arguably been the best player in the National League since 2013, but there's one number that works against him, 32. He's at the end of his prime years. So that's the reality of the situation. Now, if the Diamondbacks wanted to play, make a big splash and say, we're bringing in Bryce Harper now, even though our farm system is improving, but it's years away from contributing at the major league level,
it'd
be a similar situation to San Diego. But the thing that's preventing that is Zach Greinke's contract, because they made that splash years ago.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I think a lot of it, too, is it kind of gets down to there's added aggravation, maybe, with Zach Greinke's attitude coming to spring training. Now, in talking to Steve Bertheum yesterday, he said, oh, Zach's just bored. And I get it. Zach is a highly intellectual guy who's been playing baseball his whole life, and he's sick of doing bunt drills and all this stuff. Dude, you make $34 million a year. Deal with it. No offense, but I'm sorry. This was stupid.
It's not like he's holding it. It was 2 days late. He's
but is
here.
That, his explanation that things kind of got away from me?
He was honest about it, and he also admits...
All right, you be cool with it if you want. I'm not.
He says, Zach Greinke's words were, I'm one of the few people that believes that spring training is the exact length it needs to be, but I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't enjoy it one bit.
Torey Lovello obviously wasn't that happy, or he wouldn't have told Zach Greinke, what about the message you send to other kids? Is it okay for everybody else on the team?
Sure, that's a manager spot to do that.
It is. But I think there's solid reason in conveying that message to Zach Greinke. I mean, dude, you are the most overpaid player in baseball. Can you at least suck it up and put a good example for people who make 1/35th of what you make? I see your point. And the reason I'm speaking so fiercely about this is that contract is what's preventing them from getting involved for Bryce Harper right now. Very much like the Chicago Cubs. Look at the Cubs. The Cubs were supposed to be the team that signed Bryce Harper. What did they do in terms of short-term pursuit of championships? They go out and spend stupid money on Jason Hayward. They spend stupid money on Yu Darvish, who, by the way, can throw 80 miles per hour left-handed. Did you know
really?
That? I read that story yesterday. That's pretty impressive, but it's not worth the money he's getting paid. Then they paid all that money to Tyler Chatwood, and that's all that money for those three they could have afforded Bryce Harper, and they're stuck with those guys. Zach Greinke's been very good. I'm not trying to say he's been a bust or a waste or anything like that. I don't agree with Mike Hazen, who claims he's been worth every penny. He's been very good. But at that wage, in this market, show up on time.
But by the way, on that list that I referenced before from SI.com, Zach Greinke was the only Diamondback in the top 100. There was about 10 former Diamondbacks in the top 100.
Is that right?
Patrick Corbin was on there. Paul Goldschmidt was on there. Justin Upton was on the list. Greinke came in at number 31 on that list.
I am as curious as anybody to see if the talent and the mentality of this baseball team matches the bravado of their front office and their manager.
Yeah, well, that's the big question. I think there's a lot of people wondering what to expect from this team right now. Derek Hall with Doug and Wolf today was asked, do you think you can make a push to the postseason this year?
I think where we are, I think we're, a talented team. We obviously lost a lot of talent as well, but we think we replaced quite a bit of it as well. It comes down to pitching. Our rotation looks good. We do have depth there, which is important. And our bullpen, I think, is probably about as strong as it's been going into a season. Yet you never know how a season's going to go. And for us, we're positioned where we could go either way. If we need to invest more and add, I think we'll stretch it like we always have. I mean, we have an ownership group that's very generous, and we'll find ways to make it happen. But then again, if things don't go as well, we could also make a turn and go in that direction as well. But we feel like the bridge is so short right now that, it doesn't need an overhaul. It doesn't need a complete rebuild.
There's a lot of truth in what Derek Hall says. They're kind of a team in the middle. And the trade deadline this summer could be very interesting for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
They could be buyers. They could be sellers. We shall see. I don't think anybody really knows what to expect from this team.
Yeah,
other than there is a lack of star power on this team.
I wonder, Vinny, I just wonder if there's more to this, and I bring up the Zach Greinke thing. I wonder if there's more to it. I wonder if he's gotten wind that they're trying to move him. I wonder if he is really angry at the economic system in baseball, at which he was one of the last people to cash out.
Why would you be angry at that?
because he is angry at, because he's angry at the industry for trying to eliminate big ticket players like himself.
Do you think Sam Bradford was angry at the fact that he was the last quarterback draft pick to cash in on stupid
but
money?
There are quotes out there of Zach Greinke acting angry. I mean, I'm not making this up.
No,
But you're right. No, I don't think
Wait a minute.
What?
There are quotes out there of Zach Greinke.
There are.
Showing emotion. I'm so angry.
I just kind of get away from me.
I'm really furious.
The search continues. Yeah, and unfortunately.
I like Zach. His hair is fabulous. He's a very good pitcher, a very good fielding pitcher, a very good hitting pitcher, a very good baseball player. Show up on time.
We were rained out today from All Access Day out at Salt River Fields, but that won't totally stop us. Steven Souza Jr. scheduled to join us in the 11 o'clock hour, and Torrey Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, scheduled to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Coming up, is there anything that can stop Zion Williamson from becoming the number one pick? It's got to be the shoes, money. We'll get into that next. Bickley Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.